prepare myself spiritually, whether it's too much turkey, whether it's whether the Christmas pudding is sitting hard, I don't know. But it just seems at the beginning of the year that I really need God. And so just as we start, I want to pray. And please join me if you feel this is, you know, this is for you too. Really calling on God, crying to God, saying, God, I need your presence, your power, your enabling. I need your help today as we start this new year. All kinds of emotions may be welling up inside you. Emotions of anticipation, excitement for the year, or a kind of fear and unknown, uncertainty about things maybe cropping up during the year. Whatever you kind of feel, or maybe nothing at all, maybe kind of just a dullness, whatever you feel about this new season, let's pray together, shall we, asking for God's help. Father, we come to you because you are the source of everything. You're the source of life. You're the source of joy. You're the source of salvation. You're the source of peace. You're the source of meaning for our lives. You're the one that gives us significance. And Lord, this morning we come to you acknowledging we are creatures that you made. You are the creator, the great, the mighty one. And Lord, we need your love. We need your power. We need your grace, your goodness flowing into our lives fresh today to face the future and all you have for us. And so, Lord, we're lifting our hands, our hearts, our minds this morning, our spirits to you, saying, Lord, please come. Please come with your goodness. Oh, Lord, please come. Come amongst us. Lord, all we have is you. It's all about you, Lord. Everything is about you. A few years ago, the Reuters news agency, Reuters, one of these news agencies that collects news all over the world, it reported an unexpected turn of events in a village in the United Kingdom. It was in Sussex, and this village was called, is called, Ashurst Wood. This village decided it would like to leave the United Kingdom and establish its own nation state. So it declared UDI, Unilateral Declaration of Independence. It formed a country and it called itself the People's Republic of Ashurst Wood Nation State. It wasn't clear if they were serious until someone kind of worked out what those letters spell. And it's spelled P-R-A-W-N-S, prawns. And at that stage, people realized that perhaps they weren't that serious. However, they insisted any person entering the village would need a visa. And the leader of the village declared himself to be king. He called himself the King Prawn, in which case we knew he wasn't serious at all. It was partly a joke, but also it was a protest against the local county council, who the village felt wasn't taking their concerns seriously. Imagine the chaos. Imagine the chaos of every village, town, every city in the United Kingdom declared UDI. Said, right, we're going to set ourselves up as a nation state. Imagine the chaos. You would need a visa to pass from Islington to Camden. Otherwise, you couldn't get in. Thankfully, we're part of a United Kingdom. And this morning, as we're looking ahead at the vision that God has for us in the coming months, this coming year, 2004, as we stress it stretches ahead in front of us, we need a common direction. You know, if the 101 of us decided we were each of us going to go and do our own thing, we'd have 101 of us doing different directions, going in different directions, doing different things. But the amazing thing is, that just like that in the story of that village, Ashurst Wood, that was just a bit of a joke. The amazing thing is, the wonderful thing is, God has called us to be part of this church. If you've decided to belong here, but beside this church, you've made a decision. No one's twisted your arm. No one's forced you. You've not signed any bit of paper. But you've decided that God's called you to be part of this particular part of the body of Christ. And as such, this particular congregation, us as a church, are heading in a direction. There's something, a commonality about us in the fact that we're walking down a path that God has for us. We're walking in the path that God has for us to walk in this year, in the year ahead. And we believe passionately that God leads us. It's very important in our hearts to kind of settle that issue. We're not here as a result of kind of chance, but as we read in Acts 17, God determines the exact time and place that men and women should live, that they should be saved, a call on the God and get saved. And there's a destiny about where we live, an importance about where we live. God's called us to be here, this particular part, this particular church. Well, that's important to realize. We do hear from God. That you and I, as individuals, and as together as a church, we do hear from God. There was a story of a Church of England minister who was conducting a marriage service. And in the marriage service, he stood up at the beginning. He said, "We believe today that we are going to hear from God." Everyone kind of nodded their head in kind of, you know, encouragement. He said, "But we don't expect him to communicate by phone. Would you please turn your mobile phones off?" And he was just saying, "You know, please turn your mobile." He wanted to use it as a humorous way of introducing the fact to turn the people's mobile phones off. But we do believe that we can hear God. And it's, I think, just want to stir your spirits. I want to stir us today, at the beginning of our time together, to recognize the fact that we do hear God. And we're looking to hear from God for the year ahead, for what God has for us over the next year. Looking back over 2003, we had some very significant things. God spoke to us and called us to fast. The majority of us in the church, we fasted. Some of us for the first time, it wasn't always easy. It was sometimes hard. But some significant things shifted and happened as a result of that. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail next week. That we were able to raise £15,000 to buy a van, to buy more chairs. And it was amazing, really encouraging at the carol service to be able to use so many, many chairs that we bought because we had so many people come to that meeting. We were a great encouragement. But the youth organized two really successful youth services and the Noise Project, but all of which really were a great encouragement. We had a gospel band evening that was a new thing we'd never done before, and many people came who otherwise would never have come to anything that was Christian. Brilliant, real encouragement there. 14 people finished the public speaking course. And it's exciting that we're a church that we're looking to equip and release. And we're looking to hear later in the year from people who have finished that course. And finally, our carol service. The carol service that we did about 3 weeks ago was the largest thing we've ever done as a church. It was a great encouragement to see so many people who otherwise would never hear about the good news of love of Jesus. Well, what's God got for us in this year ahead? What has God got for you as an individual and us as a church together in the year of 2004? Well, the little cards that I've given out, on those cards you'll see at the top there, in writing, that you need a magnifying glass to read unless you've got good vision. So those little cards, that New Life is a church on a mission to reach those who don't know Christ in the North London area and beyond. And, you know, sometimes people phone me up and they say, I'm a Christian, I've just moved into the area and I'm looking for a church. And they kind of ask me, does your church do this? Does your church do that? Does your church do that? Wanting to find out what sort of things a church does. And sometimes they say, no, we don't do that. We don't do this. They ask me a question. Do you do this? No, we don't do that. Do you do this? No, we don't do that. As a church, we can't do everything. We're thankful. We're not the only church. There are many, many churches across North London seeking to fulfill the destiny and calling that God has given them as believers gathering together. God has given us a very specific and particular job to do. We are here on a mission. I love that. I love that kind of, I love that phrase. because there's something kind of moving forward about it. There's something purposeful about it. I read an account, a life story of someone who had to make a decision. Was he just going to do church kind of until Jesus comes back? Was he kind of just going to go through the motions? Was he kind of just going to kind of go through what it meant to come and just be there and go home and just sort of live out his life until he went to heaven or Jesus came back? Or was this person going to really take hold of what it means to be on a mission? There's something to do. There's a job to do. And I find that quite stirring, really stirring, to realize that God has got for us in this year ahead specific things that God's called us to do, specific jobs that God has for us. How are we going to do that? Well, these values that you've got there on your card, there are five values which have been become important to us over the last few years. And these are things that are going to help us in terms of the direction and how we're going to work out what God's called us to do. And we're going to look at a few of those today. The first one on your card there, it's all involved. All involved. And since the church started 25 years ago, this church started with a few people meeting in a flat. And right from the foundation of us gathering together as church, very important has been this value for us of being all involved. Every person, each person's significant. Everyone's got something to offer. Everyone has got a gift. Everyone's unique. Every person is significant. And ever since the Reformation, all the good things that came with the Reformation, there's been a model of church where someone stands at the front, does all the work, and everyone else kind of consumes whatever's given and says, thanks very much, goes away, and that's it, that's church. And all the good things that came with the Reformation, which were fantastic, the restoration of the Bible, the Word of God, all those kind of good things, I'm not knocking at all. But one of the things that I believe God is restoring so much in our time is an understanding that the church is about every part of the body doing its work. And the whole thing functioning. The whole body. Everyone, or each one of us. And that's a precious thing. And a very important thing to realize. And for us as a church, it's very important. You and I, each one of us, are important. There are no special, there are no titles, there's simply jobs to do in the body of Christ. And it's really kind of important that, you know, as we start in this new year, to see that you and I, each of us, are important. If we're going to fulfill this mission that God has for us, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be able to stand before God, and when we stand before Him, and He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If we're going to do that, we're not going to do it on our own. We're not going to kind of achieve it on our own. I need you, you need me, you need the person next to you. We need this thing as teamwork. It was great when we did the noise project, the cleaning up the project on the local estate. How many people got involved? Fantastic. Teamwork. On the carol, morning of the carol service 3 weeks ago, we were here and a small team of people could not have put on such a large event. It would be impossible. But the number of people who came and did different jobs and made the whole thing work, the teamwork was fantastic. And you know, thanks very much, everyone, that put so much work into that. We've got this course that I mentioned a few minutes ago, called the Cell Training Course. Majority of people in the church have been through that course, but it is one of the most effective means that we've found as a church in equipping, identifying, and releasing gifts in the church. So if you haven't done this course, the Cell Training Course, I'd really encourage you to think. It's on Sunday nights. It's for 8 Sunday nights. Starts in a couple of weeks' time. Leaflet's over there. We didn't invent it. We've adapted it from other churches, and it's become really helpful in releasing many, many of us into what God's called us to do. Very, very powerful course. All of us have different gifts. Some of us have gifts in terms of being able to speak in public. And the 14 people who have finished their public speaking course, who we heard over the summer, last summer was a wonderful time. Just hearing the amazing gifts and what God has put in people's hearts to be able to share and minister to us as a church. Over this next year, we're looking forward to hearing more from those people who have finished that course and are equipped to be able to share and minister. We're going to continue with our series about the Holy Spirit. We've learned a lot and received a lot from the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking at the gifts and fruit and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives over this next time until the summer. So I'm looking forward to that very much. But it's not possible, it isn't possible on a Sunday morning for everyone to kind of say their bit. It's just there isn't just time. And God's given us these wonderful small groups, these cell groups, as an opportunity to be able to give and to be able to receive. Jesus' 12 people that Jesus drew to himself was the foundation of Jesus' strategy for what he was going to do. And in Jesus' 12 that he drew around himself, he spent as much time with the 12 as he did with all the other people that he worked with and ministered to. In that 12 was an amazing mix of people, because they weren't the same kind of people. He didn't just get the same people. He got different people. And there were conflicts. There were problems. There was falling out. There was working through difficulties. There was failure. But in that environment, those 12 grew and were equipped to be the people who turned the world upside down. And this thing of being all involved, our cell groups give us this opportunity to put that into practice, the getting all involved. Part of the whole thing of what we do, we're skipping on to now to the third one, because I'm going to come back to the second one next week. But this, the third one here of creating community, it's very hard to create community on a Sunday morning, because you sit next to different people, unless you're a creature of habit, sits in the same place every week, but you sit next to different people each week. It's very hard to create community with people that you kind of meet for a short time, say hi, and off you go. And that's where our cells give us the opportunity to create that community. And what's really struck me is seeing that do you remember about about 6 weeks ago, we looked at the nature of God. We looked at the Trinity. There's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons enjoying perfect community. Each person loving each of the other persons and receiving that perfect love of the Father loving the Son loving the Holy Spirit. Out of the Godhead himself flows community. And so it's something that I believe is very important for us, is experiencing and knowing that community. This is what Paul said to the church in Rome. He said this. He said, "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And just, you know, as we start off on our journey in 2004, each of us, we're going to need each other for the journey ahead. The journey in 2004, you're going to need the people that are around you, the people in your cell group. You're not going to do it on your own, because God's called us to form one body. And that the members, the bits, we, each of us are a bit of that body, need each other. And so we're going to need, for this journey ahead this year, we're going to need each other. What God's called us to do. That's exciting. What are we building here in the church? The only thing we haven't got, as you can see, we haven't got a church building. We haven't got programs that we're doing this program and that program. All we've got to show for ourselves as a church is our community. We have nothing else. We have nothing but our relationships together and God himself. We have no more than that. And that, as we start off this new year, that makes us, in one sense, very vulnerable. There's nothing kind of solid to touch. You can't say, "Oh, go there is new life." You can go and touch it. You can't, because you can't physically touch it. But isn't it very remarkable that, thinking back 2,000 years, all those 120 disciples had in the upper room, all they had was each other. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them as they gathered together, early group of believers, the early church, all they had was each other and God. They had nothing else. Not much money. didn't have to put it anywhere to meet. They hired some kind of room to meet him. All they had was that. And I want to encourage us today is that the most precious thing we've got, apart from God, he is the most precious, but most wonderful and precious is we've got each other. And one of the things I want to ask for this year is that we would value and love and work at building our relationships one with another. That we put our effort and energy into this creating community. Community doesn't just happen. It doesn't. It requires effort. It requires intentional time and effort invested in the people that are around us. In our cell groups and wider in the church. So I'm gonna really just wanted to ask us this morning that we take that this thing I feel on my heart and go and pray and see what God would say to us. Because the thing of building community, it comes down to you and me. One person can't do it, two people can't do it. It takes us all working to be able to do that. Leading us on to the whole thing then of not just keeping the community to ourselves, but welcoming new people into that community. About, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, we had a carol service here in this hall. At the end of the carol service, it seemed like all of us that were in the church were going around greeting and hugging each other and giving each other Christmas cards, and it was just, we were just having a fantastic time. And all the people that were visitors were kind of sat there, kind of thinking, you know, who's talking to me? And I thought, well, God, surely, God, this is this wonderful community we've got. It's about sharing that community. And the thing that was so fantastic a few 3 weeks ago in our carol service was that as I looked around, I couldn't find one visitor who was on their own. I couldn't find one person who had come that was a visitor, who was sat there looking lonely, looking so they didn't know anyone. Because everyone was making an effort to welcome, to talk, to include in the community that we've got the people that were new. And I think that's a fantastic thing. It's a wonderful thing. I want to encourage us, you know, in this year ahead, in this next steps, to, in a sense, it's a tireless thing. Always, always reaching out to the new person. Always making someone new feel at home. It's an ongoing. In London, there's always people coming and going. That's the way London is. That's life. And so our responsibility is to tirelessly welcome people that are new. Reach out, say hi, talk to them, go and get a cup of coffee, invite them home for lunch, whatever. But to that constant thing. Because what we have, the community that we have, is very precious, and God wants us to share it. Lastly, the last thing on that, the different values that we've got, we're going to come back to doing evangelism, but encountering Jesus is the last one we'll finish with this morning. And, you know, this the whole thing, if we... You know, I said we've got community here. The two things are community and God. All we've got is each other and God. All we've got is each other and Jesus. If you take Jesus out of the picture, all we have is each other. In that case, all we would have is a group. And there'd be many groups meeting today. Groups meeting all over the place who aren't focused around God, who haven't got God. All they've got is each other. All they've got is community. But what makes us distinctive, of course, as God's people, is we're God's new community because we're focused around Jesus. And so, as we, you know, this value we've got here of encountering Jesus, of meeting Jesus, of experiencing Jesus, is what makes God's people distinctive. Is what makes us distinctive from any other group, is Jesus. And I wanted just to kind of, Nick, at the very beginning of the time this morning, Nick was kind of saying, hey, there's nothing religious. It's all about Jesus. I want to finish. I want to focus our time this morning, finishing off, in that all we have is Jesus. And so we can put aside anything religious, any set of rules, any obligation. All we have in our faith is Jesus. It's all about him. And it's as a result of drawing close to him, the motivation for doing all the things that God wants us to do flows. And so this value, which is the last value of encountering Jesus, is in fact the first. It's the most important, really, in one sense. without encountering Jesus, without meeting him personally, without experiencing him, I went to church for years and never experienced Jesus. And it's possible to be part of a group and never experience him. And that is what makes us distinctive, is our personal experience of meeting Jesus. There was a Sunday school teacher and got a group of children together and said to them, okay, can any child here quote the 23rd Psalm? A little 4.5-year-old girl put her hand up, and the teacher was a bit skeptical, but she said, okay, come to the front. A little 4.5-year-old girl came to the front, got the microphone, and she gave him a little bow, and then she said this, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. She gave him a little bow and went back. She paraphrased and condensed the 23rd Psalm. And in a sense, it's true. You know, I mean, you know, that's the heart of David in 23rd Psalm, is God is my shepherd, that is all I want. And it brings a focus back to the simplicity, the centrality, the uniqueness of Jesus. So church is about meeting Jesus. There's three places to meet Jesus. There's firstly on our own, and you know, as we set out this new year, Nick was talking earlier on about making resolutions. I'm sure in all our hearts we want to spend more time with Jesus this year. More time as we read the Word together, on our own, as we study the Word, as we pray, as we wait on God. We've had, end of last year, we had a series of Monday evenings that were like training to help us wait on God. And this year we've got some Monday evenings starting in a few weeks' time that are to help us kind of learn what it is to wait on God. In our very kind of instant culture of kind of expecting things to happen, kind of just press the button and it happens. The whole thing of learning to still ourselves before God, wait on God, hear from him, receive from him, that takes practice, that takes time, that takes effort to do that. And so we've got these Monday evenings where we're going to be, we're continuing this year, details are on your newsletter, but we're going to be learning just by being still before God for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just being still before him, learning what it means to wait on him, learning what it means to hear from him. A few weeks ago, on one of these waiting on God Monday evenings, as I was just waiting on God, about half an hour, wasted about an hour, and then suddenly God spoke to me very clearly, very specifically, and told me to go and do something that was very, very clear. And it's, that's the, when I'm rushing around thinking, shall I do this, shall I do this, that it's so easy to miss that encountering Jesus, that waiting, coming to God, God, what do you want me to do? Because I've got my list, I've got things I want to do. And yet when I wait, when I still my heart before God, I can hear him. So on my own, it's a priority for us. And we've got Monday evenings to help us do that. Secondly, in our celebration, our time together, I'd really encourage, in our times here, I like sitting on the front row, and because I want to kind of really go for it. I want to kind of, I don't want to, there's a joke where they say, in the Pentecostal churches, which is my background, where they say, all the blessing is on the front row. And don't take this personally, all the backsliders sit at the back. Sorry about that. But there's something about an urgency of saying, you don't have to sit on the front row, I'm only joking about that. But there's an urgency about saying, God, I'm not going to wait for my favourite song to come up. I'm not going to kind of wait until I kind of sort of see what happens. But right from the very beginning, right from the very first strum of a chord, my heart is going to engage with God, and I am going to praise. I'm going to worship. I am going to encounter Jesus. I'm going to open my heart. Everything you've got for me today, I want, and I'll encounter. And I'll encourage you this year to, they're very precious times. They're very precious times. Opportunity to be able to receive from God. Why don't you make a resolution this year to come at 9:45? At 9:45, there's a prayer meeting in the hall next door. And in that prayer meeting, they're looking for creative and prophetic ways to wait on God, hear God, pray for this meeting so that we're prepared. and so that there's an opportunity. Prayer is so important. Corporate prayer, praying together. We've got an opportunity. And if you just come a little bit earlier, there's an opportunity to be able to take part in that time. Why not make that as a New Year's resolution? And lastly, about opportunity to experience God, we've got our cell groups, our small groups. And one of the things that I've always amazed at is this verse that Jesus said in Matthew, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. And there's something more about meeting God in twos and threes than in God on your own. Obviously, it's very important to meet God on your own. It's absolutely crucial to wait on God on your own. Absolutely. But Jesus, there's something here about Jesus' promise that where, interestingly, it's a small group, but whatever, to have how many people in your cell group, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, however many in your group, gather together around the name of Jesus, that something happens that's powerful. Jesus comes. He says, there am I with them. There's almost like an added thing that happens when we come together in a small group. And there's something very powerful about gathering together in our cell groups. It was I heard a story of a few years ago, of a church minister who, one of his congregation had stopped coming to church for a few weeks. So he was concerned. He went to visit this person who stopped coming to church, and what he did was they sat. It was a few years ago. They sat in front of an open fire, and after initial kind of greetings, the church minister sat down in front of the fire, and the person who was in his congregation sat in front of the fire. And as they sat in front of the fire together, the church minister said nothing. There's kind of this sort of silence. 5 minutes, 10 minutes went past. Then the church minister got up, went over to the fire, got a pair of tongs out, took one of the burning coals out of the fire and put it on the hearth, put the thing down and sat down and watched it. And that fire that was glowing red hot just became a cold black lump of coal. Then without saying anything else, he bent down, got the tongs, picked it up again, put it back in the fire, and it started to re-glow red. The minister didn't say anything else, just let himself out of the house and went. Next Sunday, that guy was back in church because he kind of realized that what he did, without saying anything at all, that there's something that there's a power that there's a warmth that flows. There's something that flows between us when we're together that you don't get on your own, which is why you can't be a lone range Christian. I can't go and do my own thing and say it's just me and God and we're gonna have sweet fellowship together and it's gonna be great. Because we can't. And so I need you. I need the warmth of the life of Jesus in you that can warm my heart when I'm cold. And so we need each other. We desperately need each other. And so I want to encourage you that even times this year where you don't feel like going to your cell group, where you feel maybe cold inside, you maybe not feel that your heart's drifted away from God, that's exactly the time where we need the warmth and love of others to come and melt us and come and change us and come and do something in our heart and in our lives. What happened when people encountered Jesus? Well, the Roman soldiers fell over. The man who had many evil spirits knelt down. When the crowd saw Jesus and the results, they were amazed and they praised God. The followers in the boat, when they saw the storm stilled, they were frightened. Whenever Jesus was around, when people encountered Jesus, something happened. Something happened. And that's what we're looking for this year. We're looking to encounter Jesus on our own, in our times together Sunday morning in the prayer meeting, in our cell groups. We're looking to encounter and experience Jesus. I want to finish this morning with a story in 1972, NASA launched an exploratory probe. You can remember that far back. But they launched a space probe called Pioneer 10 back in 1972. Time magazine reported that the satellite's mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet Jupiter and its moons, and send the data back to Earth. The scientists at the time thought it was quite bold to do that because no satellite at that time had ever gone past Mars. They thought that the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it even reached its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission, took all its photographs, beamed them back to Earth. But then as it swung past the giant planet in November 73, the immense gravity of Jupiter hurled the satellite on at greater speed towards the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles past the Sun, it went past Saturn. At 2 billion miles, it passed Uranus. At 3 billion miles, Neptune. At 4 billion miles, Pluto. And in 1997, 25 years after its launch, it was 6 billion miles from the Sun, still doing its job, beaming back data. They hadn't expected much from that little satellite. The thing that makes it so remarkable was that when they made that satellite, the transmitter that was transmitting the information was an 8-watt transmitter. That's as much energy as the nightlight, this little nightlight that you have maybe for your child's bedroom. As much as this little glow it gives at night, that's just a tiny bit of energy. And yet that thing did far more than ever was imagined. It just kept going on and on and on and on. The important thing is that you and I offer ourselves to serve God. Some of us this new year may feel like an 8-watt transmitter. Might not feel kind of there's tons kind of coming out. Maybe there is. Maybe you do feel like that you're on 100 watts. But the important thing is that that little transmitter didn't give up. It kept on going on and on and on, and it was fruitful, and it achieved far more than ever was dreamed for it. I want to just challenge us this morning as we're looking to this year ahead, 2004, that as we're stepping out on this year, what do you feel inside? Do you feel excited? Do you feel apprehensive? Do you feel kind of not quite sure what the year holds? The important thing, I believe, for each one of us this morning is that whether we feel there's not much inside, it's kind of glowing pretty dim on the inside, even if you feel like that I'm going to say, God, here I am, and I am going to offer myself to you for this year ahead. God, whatever you've got for me, whatever lies ahead in this year, I will offer myself to be used by you. And you know what? God is the only one who knows the future. If you offered yourself to someone else, you could, who knows what would happen. But offering ourselves to God is 100% safe because he knows the future. So offering our lives to him for the year that lies ahead, we know we're on a safe one. Because we know that he has got it in his hand. God knows 2004. You don't, I don't. God does. And so it's safe. It is, in fact, it's stupid not to. It is stupid. Please don't, I don't want to offend you this morning. But it's stupid not to give our lives to God this morning, 100%. Because he is the only one that knows things that lie ahead for this year. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's close our eyes. Lord God. Lord. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Lord, I want to ask this morning that you would come and you would help us. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we're aware that all we have is each other and you. And Lord, this morning, we want to put all our eggs in one basket. We want to, Lord, offer ourselves fully to you for what lies ahead in this year. And Lord, I ask that you help us. Help us to do that wholeheartedly, without reserve, looking to you, trusting you, for what lies ahead in these 12 months that lie ahead of us. Oh God, we come before you. We stand before you. We stand before you, great and mighty God, this morning.